Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And we are getting into our purposeful parenting segment where we'll be speaking with Evangelist Ruth Peary. We're talking about from rivalry to friendship. Now, sisters share a unique bond, often marked by moments of rivalry and deep friendship. I know a little something about that. Now, from childhood squabbles to adult connections, this relationship evolves over time. What if sibling rivalry could be transformed into a lifelong friendship rooted in understanding and love? We're going to be exploring with Evangelist Ruth how sisters can move past competition and how they can embrace the blessing of sisterhood just as God intended. My sister, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning. We look forward to an interesting conversation. And of course, family, those of you who are tuned in, if you'd like to interact with us, the number is +27 73 470 3520. Now, here's the first question I'd have to ask. Why do siblings even have this kind of rivalry? Why do these rivalries often arise? How can they be resolved in a godly manner? Where does this war come from? And it's such a common thing.
Well, we would say the major contributor to all this, it is sin. Mm. You know, the very thing that was started in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
But we see that as we have evolved as human beings, we are always looking out for ourselves. Mm. Mm. We are number one. And therefore, if there is any threat to us being dethroned as number one,
hey,
then we react. We react in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with our siblings, because we are with them 24 hours, we're sharing everything, we are sharing the house, we're sharing almost all that we have.
Yeah.
And so because of this inherent need for us as human beings to want to be the one who proves to be the best, the one who proves to be, you know, looking out for yourself,
mm-hmm,
I think that is the major contributor.
Sure.
And so we see that, like I'm saying, it is because in families, it is more prominent because we are with our siblings
most of the time. Yeah.
And of course, when we go out now, when we go out to interact, maybe at church or in school or everywhere, unfortunately, what we carry from our homes is what is also displayed when we go out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure. I actually was going to ask that, like, why is it so much more prevalent within, you know, siblings rather than with, you know, we get along so well with people outside, but it's like with our siblings, it's such a struggle. And someone actually asked this a few episodes ago. We were talking about family dynamics and people were talking about the same thing. It wasn't specifically about siblings, but just the way that people can be so cruel to their own families, but they get along so well with their colleagues at work. They get along with people at church. Everyone thinks they're so charming, but at home it's just constant war. It's just a war zone all the time. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you say the idea that I must be number one is only exacerbated with my siblings because they're the ones I am around all the time, at least when we're growing up. So that's why it seems to be more prevalent within siblings because they're in each other's face all the time.
Yes. And anyway, I know them. We have been together. I know them.
Yeah.
And so I know who does better than me.
Mm.
I know who, maybe even among parents, unfortunately, sometimes as parents, we contribute to that because, yeah, maybe we'll praise one child more and maybe the other child is better in one thing and we'll regard them more. But when I go outside, I don't know much about the other person.
Yes.
And so if they just saw an inkling of being, you know, of me being better than them, it helps me to feel better.
Mm.
But when we get into our family circle, you can't pretend.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Even when you're getting the grades, you know, when you are in school, they know who passes with the A's or the B's or the C's. So in the family, I can't pretend because I'm vulnerable. They know who I am.
Right.
And yet I have to protect my image and my ego.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how do we resolve these rivalries in a godly way?
You know, because sin is amongst us, we need to be intentional about how we resolve these issues. Of course, when you are still young, you need the guidance of an adult,
right?
You know, to help you navigate the issues that are surrounding you. But when we grow a little bit older and we are making decisions on our own, we have to be intentional about the decisions that we are making and the competitions that we are involving ourselves in, especially within the family.
Yeah.
And so knowing and deciding that, well, God loves all of us and he has endowed us with gifts where we can excel.
Mm.
I think if I personally concentrate on excelling that which I'm able to do instead of competing with my sister, that would help in giving me peace, and therefore now our differences will not be in a competitive mood, but rather it will be appreciating my sister being good in what she can do and me being good in what I can do, because God has endowed all of us with gifts in which we can excel. And this is why I believe that all of us have been allowed to have relationships on earth, including the sister relationship, for the purpose of salvation.
Mm.
I may have a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe God will give me sisters who are better than me. Well, better in a godly sense, who will help me to cut down my cord so that pride does not get in the way of me getting into a deeper relationship with God.
Sure.
And so I believe that if we regard each and every relationship to say, this is helping me to be a better Christian. This is, my sister may be rubbing me on the wrong side always, but guess what? That wrong side, God wants to redeem it. Mm. God wants to make it right for my own salvation. Yeah, so when we look at it as a redemptive way, other than an attack, we'll start to regard even that sibling rivalry as a blessing in disguise.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I can imagine as a child, your mind is not there at all. In the younger years, your mind is not thinking that this person who keeps challenging me, this person who keeps picking on me, is actually has been placed in my life to help me, to help polish my rough edges and get me ready for salvation. When you're in the moment, it's just like, oh, can this person leave me alone? I still remember.
Yes. Why are they getting my toys? Why are they always being in my face? Why are they always doing that? Yeah. But then also on the adults who are supervising, we usually pick up these things because you can buy two yellow balls for each child, but they will fight over those balls.
Yes.
So in your mind, you know that this one is selfish and this one is a giver. And so in the formative years, when you are receiving a guidance, I think maybe at that time, it is the responsibility of the caregivers to see how they can navigate and help the children. Because ultimately, when they grow, if we don't correct those negative traits, which we see early in the children, they'll grow up with them and they'll go out there in the world with them. And they will meet with conflict and they will not be able to manage because we never controlled it in the home.
Eish. Yeah, that speaks to those who have the idea that, oh, they'll grow out of it. You know, when we see a bad habit in the child and we think, they'll grow out of it. It's just a child. Let them let them continue. They'll grow out of it. That's a cause for concern. Now, how can sisters support each other during life's challenges and also celebrate victories together? You know, not being in competition, but celebrating my sister's victory. How do we do that?
Again, because the conflicts we've been through life have been brought about by sin, then again, we have to be intentional about loving your sister the way you love yourself. Like you say, it is so easy for us to go out there and be nice to those people because we know so little about them. We don't know the many struggles that they have to, and then we don't have to be with them all the time. But then we come back. Your sister will be your sister. Whether you talk to them for 2 years or you don't, they'll still be your sister. Yeah. Friendships can end. Your sister will still remain your sister. So being intentional about it means celebrate, choose something that you're going to be celebrating together. For example, birthdays. Celebrate birthdays together. Remember each other's birthday and do something. And sometimes I remember when we were living in the same city with my older sister, but because of all this busyness, and we discovered that it could be a month before we met. So we intentionally said every other week, every fortnight, would meet for a meal. Intentional about it. We would meet for a meal and you know, and catch up on each other, what is happening, what is happening. Because we realized you can be in the same city for a whole year and you don't meet each other if you are not being intentional about it.
Yeah.
And then also to realize that your sisters are there for life. And so if you are able to maintain a friendship with a different person from another family, why not start with your own sisters? And because when you maintain a friendship with your own sisters, it is also a testimony to others who can look up at you and say, you get along with your sister? Oh, yes, we do. But you know, beneath it, of course, there is the squabbling and thing, but ultimately, at the end of the day, we realize that all of us are brought together by the love, the agape love of God. And it is that agape love, if we practice in our homes, it will be so easy to practice it at church. At church, we call each other sister, sister, sister. But what shall it benefit you if your own blood sister, you are not getting along, and yet you are the champion when it comes to church relationships? So I believe that we really have to just make that decision to say, I am going to be the one who is going to be the first one to apologize, be the first one to say, to celebrate whatever achievement. Because in the rivalry section, if we stay there, if your sister makes it maybe to university and you are not yet there, it will be hard. But if you say, this is my sister's victory is my victory, so I'll be the cheerleader.
Amen.
And once we decide that, the response, everyone responds to love in a positive way. And so once we make that decision to say, like I said in the beginning, at earlier on, that after all, they are helping you to qualify for heaven, and they are making your walk here on earth a little bit better. Yeah, so be intentional, make dates with your sisters, celebrate each victory, and if you have families, let the families interact. Let your children know your sister's children. Let them be friends, because that is ultimately what is creating the legacy. Because the children will say, our mothers were friends, why can't we be friends? And so then you are building up now this long-term legacy where they will say, oh, that family, oh, they are so together, they so love each other.
Yeah.
Or because you have sacrificed your pride and thing to just make amends and develop that friendship with your sister.
Beautiful. Now, what biblical principles can guide sisters in strengthening their bond?
Okay, for me, I think Romans 12, I call it another set of commandments. You know, because in Romans chapter 12, we find principles that really help us, not only with sisters, but maybe with all other relationship that God allows us to have. Topmost on the list, and I love it most, it is if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that is in Romans chapter 12, I think it's verse 18. So it means living at peace with everyone starts with those who are closest to me.
Yeah.
They know my weaknesses, I know their weaknesses, but even if there is a rango, at the earliest possible time, we make amends, we forgive each other, so that tomorrow we can be able to say good morning joyfully. So if I personally make the decision to say, these are my sisters, I'm going to live at peace with them, it means even if they are the ones who are wrong, we point it out to them. And you know, because we live all our lives with them, we will know how best to resolve any issues that come along. One of the other commandments that come through from Romans chapter 12 is rejoice with those who rejoice. Share others' joys and weep with those who weep, sharing others' griefs. So it means if my sister, maybe she suffers a great disappointment, maybe let down by a boyfriend, she has failed her grades, I don't stand on the sidelines and rejoice and say, hey, see now your life.
Hey.
But I should be there according to this principle and mourn when they are mourning. And rejoice when they are, and sincerely rejoice.
Yeah.
You know, there's that kind of rejoicing where you are saying, it was just a fluke, you wouldn't have gotten this without me.
Yes.
But it's also that sincere rejoicing with them, knowing that this is a blessing that has come from God for them.
Nice.
And then maybe let me mention another point that from Romans chapter 12 again. It says, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Amen.
Sometimes sibling rivalry can be deep.
Yep.
You do wish to just lash back, but we know at the back of our minds, if we know, okay, let me see how this is getting me to be a better Christian. So I don't have to revenge. If my sister borrows my shoes without permission and they get soaked in the mud, I don't have to soak her shoes in the mud too.
Right.
I don't have to soak her shoes in the mud. Being able to forgive easily and quickly. You may not forget, because I know next time you hide your shoes, but you may not forget what would happen. But the fact that you can wake up, think about that, and say, it is well. The Lord the vengeance belongs to God. And I may mention just a simple fact like breaking your shoe. But then we see that later on, as we grow in life, it is when we look back on these situations, when we look back on this, the time we forgive each other, do you know that is what makes us smile? When all are falling out, we are walking with a cane, every joint is paining.
Yeah.
And then we'll look at each other and say, do you remember that time when you did this and I forgave you? Do you remember that time? So we are making memories. You don't want to sit around the fire and start thinking of, I never forgave you, I never got over that, I'm still angry with you.
Yeah.
You know, we want to sit around at the end of our time and smile and say, we have had a good journey together. And because of this, because it is also coming from, these promises are also coming from the Bible. The last verse in Romans 12 says, do not be overcome and be conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
So imagine, you're going to be an overcomer at the end of it all.
Yeah.
Because throughout, you have been practicing that, well, what my sister has done is wrong, but I don't have to revenge with another wrong.
Yeah.
Let me do something good. And you know, because God really works both ways, there is no way that your sister is going to continue doing evil to you, because they will just say, Aish, this one, even if you do this, guess what she's going to do? She's going to come and make a cup of tea and bring a nice scone. So yeah. What's the point? Because really, the idea of doing evil is only pleasing when it is returned for evil. Then you start machinating other evils to revenge.
Yeah.
But when you respond with good, you deflate the other person and you put them in that situation. I mean, Jesus was our perfect example. They are taunting him, and then he just replies, "Forgive him, Father, they don't know what they are doing."
Mm.
And then the declaration was made, surely this was the Son of God. And so even in our friendships, in our sister friendships, in fact, in the home, when you learn the principle of never returning evil for evil, again, that is what you're going to take out in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, again, it's a legacy. They'll say, you know, those sisters, that's just how they are.
Mm.
You can insult them, but they'll never insult you back. Wow, what a good name you are creating.
Yeah.
Not only for yourself, but also for the family. And ultimately, to whatever institution you belong, even if it's a church, even if it's a community, even if it's a country, that is how we build up that goodness, that legacy that comes. And we are known for that.
Mm.
And guess what? The name of God shall be glorified.
Amen.
And all because you took time to read and see the promises and say, okay, my personal wishes, put them aside.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just do what the Lord wants me to do. And so ultimately, even for you who is practicing these good things, I think you are better for it.
Yeah.
You are happier. You are more at peace. You are more at peace. You are happier. And you can face anybody. You know, in a situation where someone is approaching you and you say, hey, I can't meet someone. Let me use another way. For me, I say you make the world a little bit smaller for yourself.
Mm.
But when you are carrying out these principles, for sure, the world is a happier place.
Beautiful.
And the Lord smiles down at us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, as we're wrapping up, what are some creative ways that you think sisters can maybe intentionally nurture their relationship? And also, as we talk about that, I know you've just spoken about not returning evil with evil, but if you could just touch on the power of forgiveness when it comes to healing strained sibling relationships.
Yes. If I'm the one who has been forgiven,
mm-hmm.
surely I'll try to see how I can make the flowers grow.
Mm.
You know, I'll try to do better next time to my sister.
Yeah.
So it means when I say now I'll do better, now I'll respond with goodness, with love. Now I'll respond with patience. It means as we build up those positive attributes,
mm-hmm.
we are sowing seeds of kindness. We are sowing seeds of love. We are sowing seeds of, and when those seeds grow, we are not the only beneficiaries. Other people are going to benefit from the sacrifices that we have made by forgiving each other and getting along as best as possible.
Mm.
And you know, I have five sisters.
Okay.
And what we do is every 2 years
mm-hmm.
we have a holiday together.
Oh, nice.
You know, we come from wherever, we meet, we have a holiday, it is a time of reflecting, it is a time of, you know, sharing how your life has been. And that has strengthened our bonds. Because even when we are talking now, it's not like, oh, is that what happened to you? No, I'm in the loop. I know exactly what is going on with each one of them at any given time.
Mm.
And you know, when we develop like that, it means if I have a challenge or a problem,
mm-hmm.
I'm not scared or I'm not shy to share it with my sisters.
Yeah.
And in this world, which is just getting, you know, where you don't know which friendship is genuine or what. When you know that there's someone on the lookout for you, there's someone who is there intentionally, looking out for your good, it gives you that peace, that comfort of mm-hmm. knowing I can tend to this person and I know their response is always out of love.
Yes.
And even if a rebuke comes, Even if a rebuke comes, you know that they are doing it out of love.
Yes, yes.
And so the other thing that we do is celebrate even our children's successes.
Mm.
I will not only attend the graduation of my own biological son.
Mm-hmm.
I will attend the graduation of my sister's daughter, of my sister's son, and I'll be there. If she's not able to come, she will know that if Mother Ruth has come,
yes,
it means it's as good as my mother coming.
Exactly.
And that confidence only comes from the fact that you choose to say, hey, you guys, all of you are spending holiday with aunt so and so, so that they get to know each other.
Yes.
But above all, of course, because we are Christians, praying for one another.
Amen.
You know, we have a week of prayer at church.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have a week of prayer as a family?
Okay.
Yeah, have a week of prayer as a family. Have a time of prayer and fasting as a family. Present your requests. Say, we are fasting for 2 or 3 days for these issues. And you know, when as you pray, the bonds are also, strengthened. And especially if you involve even the children,
mm-hmm.
have that week of prayer, have that Bible study, have that time when you can hold each other's hands and pray. Not all is rosy. Some make mistakes that you say, how could you? But then even as the tears are falling, you mm-hmm. know that these who are holding my hands, they are doing it for my good. And like I say, because every relationship is just sharpening us so that we can be good tools in the Lord's hands.
Wow.
When we go out there in the world, the same attributes that I have developed, the same strengths that I have gained from this family bonding,
uh-huh.
it's what I would take to the world.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then people look at me and say, hey, she goes through trials and challenges so gracefully.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. It's because I have a battlefield where I have fought and others have helped me to win.
Yep.
So I don't need to go out brooding and crying to the world because I have been sorted out in this inner circle, so to speak.
Amen.
Yeah. So intentionally plan for holidays. And, you know, by holidays, it doesn't mean, you know, flying out to exotic places. It could be a holiday in the home. All of you just bundle together in one home, push your mattresses in the living room and spend nights there. That's a good holiday.
Mm.
Because now you remember that this one never liked to cook, even for a long time. So don't ask her to cook. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you just relate and spend time together, because it is about spending time together.
Yes, yes.
And like I say, I am positive that God smiles when we take time to strengthen the bonds of the people that he has placed in our lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, mm-hmm. That was beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us, Sister Ruth. What an interesting conversation that was. As you're speaking, I'm just thinking about my sisters. And I'm thinking about our upbringing and our relationship now as adults. And I really enjoyed that. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for coming through and for sharing your insights on the subject. And I hope that all the sister bonds out there will be strengthened as a result of this conversation. If you have any questions out there, the number is +27 7347 0 3520. Thank you so much, my sister, for coming through. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you too for the invitation.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.